hormonal piece, when it's stressed, doesn't show that it's significantly out of balance. You might want to test a little bit to see if the dose needs to be adjusted. But not having overt symptoms or conditions expressed probably implies that they're doing pretty good. That's nothing to worry about. You could test that, but when we stress it, the point's very well balanced. The digestive enzymes may be a little bit of a role to play there, that you could consider adding those in if you're having gastrointestinal symptoms. I don't know that those are significant, other than it would help to balance the bowel flora and a little bit of this demand for energy or deficiency for energy on the pancreas. And those are kind of subtle things, tweaking, that would help with your balances here. And then it just says there's some stressors in your life. That would have an impact on brain chemistry and neurotransmitters. So we'll go take a look at those and see how they respond. But the formulation for digestive enzymes, you could use that on an occasional basis. We'll go and take a look real quick. Activate brain chemistry and neurotransmitters. We would want to challenge this on two points. One on the endocrine system for the hypothalamus and pineal gland, because that shows a demand value over here. And then on the pituitary and the pineal gland, and then the hypothalamus. And first we'll stress these points and see how your brain's doing. And it says it's doing pretty good on that point. And it's not doing too bad on the other on the pineal pituitary point. So the balance is pretty good there. Are you having a disruption of your sleep pattern at all? Is that?
I'm not getting my best
on the light. Okay. So we're going to activate some neurotransmitters and see if it makes a difference. But again, it's important to note that we're starting out with balance points. All we have to go by initially is that there's a demand value for energy, which would reflect maybe something about the sleep pattern that you have. We'll challenge neurotransmitters and brain chemistry at a 3x, and that's actually a little bit high. And we probably need to narrow this down a bit, because it needs to go to one or two instead of all of them. So we'll challenge it again in a 3x, in a yes-no mode. We're asking, is there something there that maintains balance? And it says, no. We're going to go try again at the last yes that we had. It says yes. Try one more. Ooh, big no. Really hated that. Something personal about it, I suppose. Mm-hmm. We come back and test. And we get a yes, narrow it down to the options that are available. And it says, well, a little serotonin at a 3x dose would help maintain balance. We can ask for the other one that said yes on the taurine. And you can see that it doesn't balance. So we've narrowed it down to the specific neurotransmitter, which is serotonin. So those would be some minor recommendations that we would consider for balancing. Maybe look a little bit at the dose for hormones, although when it's stressed, it's doing really well. Give some, maybe a little bit of support for the digestive enzymes, although no overt symptoms, just a little support that would keep it from getting bad or out of balance. Serotonin to help with the brain chemistry and neurotransmitters. And then the next thing, or the last thing that was on the list that we wanted to look at, is circulation. When we go to the circulation meridian and stress it and see what deficiencies it has, and it has a pretty good balance. The one point that's a little bit low is the right where the writing callus occurs. It's important for people to remember that right-handed people, on the circulation point, the callus can interfere with your accessing the measurement near the nail. So always measure it twice, once against the control measurement point and another point further up. Sometimes a little moisture and sometimes increased pressure if the callus is a little bit thick. And we'll go back and check that with some things. And it does show a little bit of imbalance when we've checked it a second time. So we can go to the computer and find something that would help maybe with circulation, although the general control point is pretty well balanced. Take a look at first homeopathics that stimulate circulation. capsicum is one of the first ones that comes to mind. Raoulfia would be another one. We can look at the overview and see if any of those show up as options that would help in the stimulation of the body. And then the other one that shows that we can take a look at is Xantholus, which has a role to play with the spleen. So we'll test those and see if any of them give the body some support. Capsicum at a 3x doesn't do anything. 6x, we'll jump right to a 30. And it doesn't make a balance, and my first choice, it says that it doesn't like that one. So the next thing that we can look at, one called Raoulfia. This helps circulation. 3x doesn't balance. 6x doesn't balance. Various dilutions all the way up to 200x, it says no. So the first two choices out of the top of my head weren't too great. But now we go back to the printout, and it helps us spell it right. Go back to the printout and Xantholus is one that she called for on her own. We can come over and test that on the circulation at a 3x, challenge it at a 6x. Oops, we'll try it at about a 12x. And bingo. We balance our circulation with a homeopathic therapy that helps with blood and the spleen. So that would be our next recommendation to add to the things that we've already suggested. Eliminating some food additives and preservatives will help maybe with digestive enzymes. You might want to look at the dosage on hormones and challenge it one way or another. You could muscle test it, reduce it a little bit or increase it a little bit. It would be hard to say. It just shows a demand value for energy that would be there. We give some serotonin for some stress and stress factors, and something there for helping with circulation. And we basically have a balanced body. Any questions? Any answers?
No. Gentlemen.
We want to talk about some individual testing. These are actual tests taken from our client files. This particular individual that was evaluated has a couple of high values that we would note. The emotional elements look pretty significant. The heart element looks kind of high. The endocrine system shows some high values there. And then on the point quadrant piece, we got a high value on the heart meridian and a very low value on the liver meridian. The significance of that is kind of important, and listen to some of the things that the client mentioned when they were first evaluated. She feels very tired. She doesn't have a lot of energy. Her premenstrual symptoms are almost completely unbearable. She's lost the desire to do a lot of things. She's on top of things, but she doesn't feel motivated. She's having a hard time keeping up with her school and other challenges. She feels emotionally and maybe even physically drained, as she described. She's a senior in high school and working as hard as she can and going as fast as she can go. But she has some of those significant things. As you listen to those symptoms, we don't chase symptoms, we balance meridians. But the symptoms give us an idea of what to focus on or what to look at or what might be helpful in taking a look at the things that go on. First of all, we always address the lymphatic process and maintain make sure that meridian flow is open. It would be important to do that. The little X here shows that the adenoids and tonsils have been surgically removed, and you can see the demand values for energy on those are at the high end and the low end. So we want to open the lymph process. We talked about a diathetic therapy relative to things. A diathetic therapy can support or help balance the elements in the point quadrant system here. So the recommendation was made for three diathetic therapies. One for stress, because the emotions are high. One for the liver, because the liver energy was very low. And one for the heart, because the heart energy or meridian to the heart was very high. And there's a correlation between those elements. Now, the liver literally nurtures the heart. And here we have an example that the heart's demanding energy and the liver has none to give in the nurture cycle. So that's kind of an interesting response that can have an impact on the body. A lot of times when those things occur, when the heart meridian is out of balance, there's general lack of fire, the element of fire tied to the heart. And that could be create general symptoms of weakness or fatigue. Interestingly, the recommendation, premenstrual symptoms and conditions are kind of high. The uterus shows a extremely high demand value for energy. The emotions are high. The young girl didn't admit this, but her mother would, that she got angry easily. And we look at the demand value for the liver. Well, in relationship to that, acute reactions, emotional symptoms, and those kind of responses would help us know to balance the liver meridian. I think you can see that the evaluation gives information relative to what's going on in the body, and then recommendations can be made or assumed and tested to see what balances her. The next thing that happened was that she was balanced, and it turned out that in the balance, some significant things showed up that were correctly assumed. In the balance, she eventually balanced with the diathesis 1, which was for the liver. She balanced with diathesis 3, which was for the heart. The diathesis 4, which was for stress and stress-related factors. The liver piece had an influence on hormones. The diathesis 3 had an influence on the heart meridian, and the serotonin liquitrophic gave help for the emotional part. And then in the point testing and challenge testing of this young woman, because of the stress factor, which is reflected in diathesis 5, it turned out she actually needed some help with the spleen, which on the printout showed a normal value, but when it was challenged, it turned out she needed some help to support that, which correlated with the stress factor and the emotions and the hormonal relationship. That was a good example of how the body gives us information of what can balance the meridians. We'll wait and see how the young woman responded. This is an evaluation of a man in his probably middle 40s. We've been seeing him for a little while. He's been off therapy for a bit. The last time we had an evaluation, he was doing fairly well, and we haven't seen him for a bit. We've done an evaluation on him to see what's going on. Some of the things that he expressed a concern about we'll mention. He said he was feeling somewhat depressed or sad. On further clarification from his wife, you know, real men don't have real symptoms. His wife said he was so depressed that he felt like at times committing suicide, so that was significant. The emotional piece here, borderline, just barely below the normal range, but somewhat important to look at. He had been losing some weight. He was somewhat constipated and had been bloating. There were some bumps on his skin and his hairline and in his back. He'd also expressed a lack of energy and the capacity to do things. And many people in his family, he talked about this, had been diagnosed with a process called elective mutism, which is basically a desire to thrive. And he felt that that might be somewhat a concern or a condition for him as a result of that sensitivity or feeling that he was experiencing, being depressed or sad from his perspective and almost suicidal from his wife's perspective. And the a significant key or focus was his lack of energy. Well, in doing the evaluation and stressing some things, we found that the lymphatic process needed to be open. He'd lost his tonsils and adenoids, and there were some deficiencies and some great demands for energy on lymphatic, so we needed to open the lymphatic process. We came down to the point quad and tested the individual meridians related to the point quad, and the most significant imbalance actually occurred not with the lung, but with the kidney. There's a relationship between the lung and the kidney. The lung is the nurturing organ for the kidney, and you can see a high demand value for energy there, and the kidney just barely in the normal range. And upon the point testing evaluation, we found that he balanced with a diathetic 4. He needed some support from a homeopathic version of shark cartilage. He was balanced with Chinese lymph, and we added some therapy for coenzyme Q10 also helped balance him. It's interesting to note with the diathesis and the kidney that there's puffiness and swelling, some congestion of the mucous membranes that correlates with the demand value we saw that balanced the kidney. We also know with the diathesis that balanced with him that there is a lack of willpower, a lack of energy, and many people speak of suicide that have this type of imbalance. This one took a little bit of work to find those things that balanced him, because he's been working on his body for a little while now, and so things are not going to easily present as we get to more core issues and more core things that need to have some support. But the diathetic, the support for kidney, support for the lymphatic process, he ended up liking shark cartilage to help regenerate some balance, and then also CoQ10, which also helps take care of the lung as it's an oxygenation therapy. Reports are that he's doing pretty good and has responded in terms of his balance has had an impact. He said he felt his energy coming back. All we do though is balance the meridians, follow the clues that his body gave us, and challenge some of the information so that we found that the focus was actually coming from the kidney meridian. This next evaluation is of a woman in her middle 40s. She's been doing therapy for quite some time, having addressed some significant issues in her body, the processes that we've looked at. Haven't seen her for a little bit. The most significant thing that first gets our attention as we look at her printout is some of the high values for lymphatic process. And we wanted to make sure that that meridian was open and flowing. She'd been having some teeth grinding and irritation in her jaw and the at night, and we see here the temporal mandibular joint getting a high demand for energy, and the parotid gland also getting a high demand for energy. Those are definitely related. She was also concerned about her failure to thrive too. She was lacked some energy. She felt emotionally that she was way too angry. Although her husband, when I talked to him, said that she was doing better by the time we saw her. The emotional piece here was close to the normal range. And we took a look at some of those things relative to what balanced her body. We challenged a couple of points, and the most significant thing that came out of it was that the heart demand value was actually even a little bit lower than this when it was stressed, and so was the liver a little bit lower. And given her menstrual symptoms, the liver responded to a balance of a diathesis therapy. I should make a note here about diathesis therapies. We talk about them a lot. They're a part of one of the courses that we cover. But diathesis therapies are based on the Chinese model of medicine that give the organ or meridian of the organ support relative to conditions tied to the emotional part and then also tied to a broad category. So for example, the wood supports the liver, and the diathetic therapy for liver is called a diathesis 1, and it has a lot of manganese in it. The support for the heart in this particular case is fire. That's diathesis 3, and that has a lot of manganese and cobalt in it. A diathesis 2 has manganese and copper, and that's for the lung and large intestine. A diathesis 4 has copper, gold, and silver, and that's for the kidney. And a diathesis 5 is for the spleen, and it has zinc, nickel, cobalt, and copper. In addition to the Chinese model of medicine, the concepts of certain nutritional therapies on a cellular level are covered in the diathetic part. So to balance this woman, we ended up needing to supply a support for the heart in the form of a diathetic heart meridian, in the form of a diathetic therapy, giving some support for the liver, and then also some support for the immune system and the overall response when it was stressed. The thymus itself shows balance here, or in the low range. And when it was stressed, it was very low, so we gave some recommendations for immune system support in that regard. And then for the emotional part and stress factors, we used the diathesis 4. All of these tended to balance the meridians and bring about the desired change, and we made those recommendations for this individual. The next person that we want to review on an evaluation is a young boy. He's about 8 years old. He's doing fairly well at the time that we evaluated him. We have addressed many things on this young man to get him to where he is right now. At the time in talking to his mother, he said basically he was quite moody. In fact, he got upset and angry very easily. And he also had kind of a sore throat or runny nose and a little bit of an upset stomach at the time of the evaluation. We did the evaluation and found emotions were indeed a little bit high, although he was easy for me to get along with in the past. Sometimes he would be cranky, so that was significant. Other values that we saw that got our attention were the values for the thymus and the pituitary process and certain lymph drainage points that were high and then also low. Whenever we evaluate a person, we always make sure that the lymphatic process is open and flowing properly, so that's one of the first things that was addressed here. Then next, given certain results of the point testing, we found that the liver meridian was most significantly imbalanced. And there were two reasons for that. One is the chemical environment that he lives in probably contributes to that. The liver has to detox chemicals all the time, and he showed a high intolerance to chemicals, and so that needed to be corrected. And the other thing that helped balance that was giving support with a diathetic therapy, again in this case, of a diathesis number one, which is the wood remedy for liver and gallbladder, and tied to the emotions again of anger. And he was experiencing a lot of immediate anger and some frustration, which always helps you point or look at the liver meridian. He balanced with those. We found some other deficiencies and things that were necessary to give support to his body. He needed to be totally balanced. He needed some amino acids and minerals. He also needed to have some help with some fungal forms that had created an impact, and they were found to be influencing a few things on the bowel and a few places related to the lymph process, which may have been the stomach upset that he was experiencing and even the stuffy nose, possibly. He balanced with those things and seems to be doing well, at least at this point in time. So we gave him a diathetic for the liver, helped open the lymph, eliminated chemical intolerances that the liver was trying to take care of, and helped balance his body basically with some amino acids. No one said it better than Dean Alfange. "I do not choose to be a common man. It is my right to be uncommon, if I can. I seek opportunity, not security. I do not wish to be a kept citizen, humbled and dulled by having the state look after me. I want to take the calculated risk, to dream and to build, to fail and to succeed. I refuse to barter incentive for a dole. I prefer the challenges of life to the guaranteed existence, the thrill of fulfillment to the stale calm of utopia. I will not trade freedom for beneficence, nor my dignity for a handout. I will never cower before any master, nor bend to any threat. It is my heritage to stand erect, proud, and unafraid, to think and act for myself, to enjoy benefits of my creation, and to face the world boldly and say, this I have done." The doctor of the future will give no medicine, but will interest his patient in the care of the human frame, in diet, and in the cause and prevention of disease. This quote by Thomas Edison has always caught my attention, especially the doctor of the future part, where we look to prevention of, and elimination of disease from that process. When I was first introduced to electrodermal screening, electroacupuncture according to Vol, I was extremely intrigued with it. I was so excited by it, I could hardly wait to learn everything there was to learn about it. Little did I know how much there was to learn about it. I have been studying it now for approximately 9 years, and there is still something I learn every day about this particular aspect of the body. It's my sincere belief that it is a form of healthcare of the future, that it's a non-invasive method of evaluating the system and symptoms of the body to find a way that provide balance and improve and increase our health processes as significantly as a prevention type evaluation. It's probably the most exciting thing that I've done in any of my careers in life. I've been in healthcare for quite some time, and this aspect of healthcare is extremely intriguing. It's very exciting, it's very fulfilling to work with this process. It's important to understand that as you study these tapes, as you've gone through the courses, there is always something to learn. One of the ways that we keep things exciting for us is to have to keep being challenged and keep learning about it. One of the ways that we keep it exciting and interesting for us is to never have things always the same. And even though the guidelines and the recommendations that we make for the courses and the things that we study have some standardization, every individual that you have the opportunity to evaluate will have indeed something new to teach you. When I first started doing this, I was given some excellent advice. Practice often. Don't hesitate to make any mistakes, because learning something new requires that we make mistakes, and we should learn from those mistakes. When I first learned to speak French, one of my teachers told me that it would require me to make over 1 million mistakes before I got it right. I think I made over 2 million mistakes and still never got it completely right. The French used to tell me that I spoke with a Spanish cow accent. I spoke French with a Spanish cow accent, so I knew that I never really completely got it right. In this particular process, you can be accurate and effective, but it does come with practice, and it does require making some mistakes. It will generate some frustration. It will generate sometimes when you think, I don't believe I can trust the modality. I'm here to tell you that the modality is an accurate process. It has effectively changed the lives of many people that I work with. I know that it's successful in evaluating this aspect of the body, and it will allow an individual to balance their meridians, and the recommendations that come from the body. I know when I first sat down to be evaluated, the doctor that was evaluating me told me things about my body that I knew only I knew, and that my mother knew, and my mother couldn't have told him because she was dead at the time. The significance of that has always compelled me to continue to learn, to understand, to be able to evaluate the acupuncture meridian flow of the body using these devices. There will be many people that will be skeptical. There will be many people that are trying to discourage you in your processes. There will be many people that are also very pleased that you're learning how to do this, that will enjoy the benefits of your education, the benefits of your knowledge and expertise as it grows. There will be many people that will thank you as they have thanked me for helping change their health. It's a significant element to remember. It's not for everybody necessarily, although I think anybody would benefit from having their meridians balanced. But I do think it's an effective process for many people, and with the proper education, proper applications of the tools, proper application of the information that we've provided, you'll be able to make a change in their health. They'll be able to notice a difference. They'll be able to feel better because their meridians are balanced. Don't feel the discouragement, or don't allow it to last very long. Press forward, work hard, practice often, ask questions, look for opportunities to test on every occasion. When I was first introduced to the system, I tested almost 8 hours every day. Whether I had a volunteer or not, I would find somebody to allow me to hone the skills and the techniques that are necessary to become proficient in the process. I would encourage you to do that. Take every advantage of opportunities to evaluate friends and family and neighbors, and just do the best you can. It will come with time. It will come with practice. It's the most fascinating process I know of working with in healthcare. It's the most effective method I know of, because the remedies that are used are defined by the body. There is no better expert than the body. If you could ask, it would tell you exactly what you need. It is in my opinion that these devices allow you to ask the right questions and allow you to get the right answers. Don't be discouraged. Work at it. Learn about it and enjoy it. And enjoy the benefits that can come from this type of evaluation. Don't forget, you're practicing for the future, and it is my opinion that this is where the future is today.